Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Says verse 2, the Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But remember, he gives us free will, so if you abandon him, he will abandon you. Verse 3 says, for a long time, Israel was without the true God, without the priest. Sorry. I just can't imagine life without him. They were without priests to teach them and without the law to instruct them. In verse 4, but whenever they were in trouble and turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him out, they found him. Jesus, he's so faithful, church. He is so faithful. All we have to do is put our trust in him. It's not too late to repent or to renew your life with him. When you seek him with your whole heart, you will find him.
Thank you. Luke chapter 15. We're continuing to look at a story of the prodigal son. That's what it was known as. Maybe you've heard it as the lost son. This week, I just wanted to talk about the context of why Jesus tells this story and the stories before it. Right before this, Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders. You could think of them as pastors, as teachers, as those who would guide the synagogues, the churches, right? These religious leaders had a complaint. They had one thing especially that really bothered them about Jesus. One complaint that they kept bringing up. And that complaint centered entirely on the type of people that Jesus associated with. Luke 15 says this: these religious leaders muttered. That's a word, right? Muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." That was their big complaint about this guy. This Jesus hangs out with those people. You know, the bad people, the people that are lost, the people that are spiritually far gone, right? He not only hangs out with them, but he welcomes them. And he even eats with them. You have to understand how radical this would have been for this time period. To eat with somebody was to publicly acknowledge them and give them worth. It was to value somebody. These people had been ignored by the religious leaders. They had been shamed by the religious leaders. They had been taught that they were the entire problem with Israel, and Israel would be much better off without them. That's what they were taught. These people would not be allowed in the church, not be allowed in the synagogue. They wouldn't be allowed to worship with their community. They were dead. They were dead men and women walking. They had no hope, no hope for salvation. It was gone far beyond their grasp. But then this teacher comes, this religious leader, unlike any other religious leader. And he doesn't just acknowledge them. He welcomes them. He eats with them. He provides them value. It was so unheard of that actually Jesus became known for this. Why did Jesus do it? Before this, early in his ministry, Jesus called one of those lost men that he encountered, a man named Matthew. Do you remember his occupation? He was a tax collector, the most hated person in Israel. He was a traitor to his people, somebody who had gone and associated with Rome and chosen Rome over his own people. And this is the guy that Jesus calls to be one of his disciples, to be one that is associated with him, to be one that would follow in his footsteps. The religious leaders, when that happened, they could not believe it, and they again complained about it. Luke 5:31, Jesus answered them, though, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So that is the context of the story that we're about to read. Jesus welcomes those that are lost, and the religious leaders couldn't stand it. They couldn't understand it. It didn't make sense to them. So Jesus tells them three stories about the lost, right? The lost sheep, you know that story. The shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one. The lost coin, right? A woman loses one of her bridal coins and sweeps and turns over her house until she finally finds it, and then there's a great celebration, right? And our story of not one lost son, but our story of two lost sons. We call this the story of the prodigal, but two sons were actually lost. And Jesus is about to reveal to them, reveal to the religious leaders through the older son, that these righteous followers of God, these teachers of the law, these Pharisees, were in fact lost themselves. Please stand in honor of God's word. Luke 15, beginning at verse 17. We're picking it up halfway. If you were here last week, we did the first part. When he, this is the younger brother, came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth and against you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with what? Compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on. Put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. He's working, right? He came near the house. He hears the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What is going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been starving for you, slaving for you, and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this amazing story, this parable. Father, we would love for you to just teach us from it. Father, open our eyes, open our ears. Soften our hearts so that we can receive it. Soften the heart of the most callous person in here, the most callous person listening today, so that we can receive it, so that we can accept it, so that we can be transformed by it, so that we can be made into a new creation, Lord. Would you do that work this morning? Father, would you be with every church that's in our community and beyond that's preaching the name of Jesus Christ, Lord? We know what's coming against those churches, Lord. Would you watch over them? Would you protect them? Would you grow them? Would you take them deeper than they've ever been before? Would you send us all out into this dark world with this amazing news, with the story of prodigals, the story of a father who runs after them, to the story of a father who pleads with older brothers, Lord? Would you give us opportunities this very week with our friends, with our family members? Would you help us to be bold? Would you help us not to shrink back? Would you help us not to care what anybody thinks? Would you send us into the lion's den? Would you send us into the furnace? Would you just go with us, Lord? Father, we love you and we give you all honor and praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I said in the beginning, if you notice, both sons are lost. Both sons actually struggle with idolatry. The younger son, it was obvious, he wanted his father's inheritance. He asks for it, right? While his father is still alive, that is because he wanted his father's things more than his father's presence. And he takes that and he goes off with him. That is the definition of idolatry, to want the things of God more than we want God, to want the things of God in place of God. When the younger son comes back, the older gets mad with his father because his father gives his brother things. And he compares those things with what the father has given him, right? The things that the younger son got should have been the things that were left to the older brother. They should have been passed on to him. And so the older brother gets mad with the father. After all, the younger son got everything that was coming to him. Everything else should have been mine, right? But the father gives him those things. And he becomes furious because those things are more important than the father. Again, it's idolatry. Neither son at the time cared about the father. They just cared about what he had, what he could give them, what they could get from him, right? And they valued those things over their relationship with their father. That is why the older brother becomes lost. That is why the older brother becomes so angry that he cannot go in to celebrate when his younger brother comes home, because his younger brother didn't deserve anything, didn't deserve all that he was getting. If you think about it, this was one of the greatest days for the father, right? A son comes home, a son that was lost, right? He thought he was dead. He's alive. He gets another chance with his son. But the older brother couldn't be happy for his father because all he saw were the things that were going to his brother, were the things that his brother was getting that he thought he deserved, that he should have had. I've never got anything like that, right? How could my father give that no good brother of mine the fattened calf? The fattened calf would be something that was slaughtered and killed and eaten only for the greatest of celebrations. The whole community would be invited to this celebration. It was a rare occasion, and the father used it on the son who bailed on him, on the son who betrayed him, on the son who wasted everything he had worked so hard to get. In wild living, how could my dad do that for him after everything he did to my dad? And why has he never done anything like that for me? I've been good. I've been a faithful son, working, slaving, and doing everything for him. I think most of us understand where the older brother's coming from. Doesn't seem fair. We also see it as unfair when we live for God, right? When we give, when we pray, when we go to church, and yet we're the ones struggling while the person who doesn't care at all about God seems to prosper. Why, Lord? Why is this person, why does they have that when I'm struggling, right? We're the ones reading our Bibles. We're the ones praying. We're the ones going to church and serving. And yet we get the diagnosis. And they get the amazing vacations, right? The older brother is... brother has been working for his father every day. He's out in the field at this very moment, right? He follows the rules. He respects his father, and the father hasn't even given him a goat, yet alone the fattened calf. Do you see it? It's all about prioritizing the father's things ahead of the father in place of the father. The older son is lost. And maybe to some degree, we who bear his name, we who are in this church are lost as well. Maybe in some ways, we value the father's things, the things of this world, more than the father himself. Do you struggle with what other people have? Do you struggle with what opportunities other people have? Do you struggle with other people's looks? How good of hair they have, right? Do you get angry at the father because it isn't fair, this world? I have my moments where I place the things of this world in front of the father, higher than my relationship with the father. I have my times where I am jealous when I look at other preachers, when I look at other people. Why does that person get this when I only have that? God forgive me for thinking for one moment that what I have with the Father isn't worth a million times any of the other stuff. Praise God, because not only does the Father run to the lost, the Father comes out to the older brother and pleads with him and tries to draw him back into a relationship with him. Luke 15, verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. The most stunning thing in the story is how the story ends, right? The story ends with the younger brother humbling himself and turning to the father and being reconciled to him. He finds salvation. And the older brother, the good brother, the moral man, not the black sheep, right? The person who doesn't break any of the rules, he remains lost. He refuses to go in. The bad kid is saved. The good kid, the one who goes to church every day, once a week, twice a week, his whole life is lost. And get this, he's not lost despite his goodness. He is lost because of it. The older brother finds himself furious with the father. Why is he so mad? He tells us in verse 29, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. In other words, I've been good, and because I've been doing all these good things for you, because of my righteousness, you should be doing this for me. I've earned this. At least this, but you aren't, so I'm furious with you, and I'm not coming in. That is religion. You want a picture? That is religion. I did this, I earned that, and God now owes me, right? And if I don't get that, then I'm out. The older son doesn't get the things he thinks he deserves, and so he removes himself from the Father's presence. That is the danger of religion. There are two ways of being lost, two ways of choosing hell, eternal separation from God. One is by being rebellious and saying that I want the things of this world more than I want you, and I don't care, right? This is what I want, and I know if I follow you, I'm not going to be able to have these things, so I'm choosing these things, this way, this path, over your presence. The other is by being very good, though, and saying, I deserve these things, and that is more important than you, God. That's why Jesus says, blessed are the poor spiritually, because they know where they stand. They know that the only hope they have is if Jesus saves them. They know Romans 3:10. There is no one righteous, not even one. I know so many people who think I'm a good person, so God owes me for this next life. There is not one righteous, not even one. Being religious is very dangerous because it says, I've prayed, I've worked hard, I give, and therefore God owes me. In other words, you are your own savior. You look to yourself and the things you do for salvation. You think you earned it, but we earn nothing because none of us are good, and the only thing we have are filthy rags to throw at his feet. You know, it's easy to recognize the lost younger brother. They're the ones doing drugs, right? They're the ones sleeping with prostitutes. They're in rehab. We think we know what they look like. We think we have them pegged, right? But the older brother is the one who's going to church, the one going to the prayer meetings, the one giving, the one that looks great on the outside, but is completely lost and dead on the inside. Jesus actually says something shocking. He says that they are even more lost. The older brother is even more lost than the younger brother. Matthew 22:31, Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. How do you know if you have some older brother in you? How do you know if you're lost? Verses 28 through 30 paint a picture, give us a mirror to check ourselves in. In verse 28, we see the older brother is angry, right? If you're lost, you will have this undercurrent of anger throughout your life. And it will be either directed at people or directed at God himself. After all, if you don't get what you think you deserve from God, you're going to be mad at God. And if you think somebody doesn't deserve what they get compared to you, you're going to be angry at them as well. Do you have this undercurrent of anger in your life? Do you have this undercurrent of anger towards God, towards certain people, right? Are things more important than your relationship with the Father? And are you mad because you just don't have what you think you deserve? That is the first thing to look for. The second thing to look for in the mirror and ask yourself is, how do you see yourself? It is so telling because the younger brother came to the place where he was willing to be a servant, where he was willing to be a slave. Remember his speech? I've sinned and I'm not worthy to be your son. But the father doesn't even let him finish, right? And restored him as a son. The older brother was his father's son, but he could only see himself as a slave of the father. Remember, I'm slaving. I'm doing all this stuff for you. He did all the things he should, but it was a heavy burden to him. And he only did it so that he could get something from the father. There was no joy in it. There was no joy in serving the Father, and he could only see himself as a slave. He did all the things he should, but it was heavy. It was a grind. He didn't enjoy being a son. She didn't enjoy being a daughter. They just felt like slaves, right? His life was only a duty. Only boxes to check. You ever been there, Christ follower? Only boxes to check so that you can earn God's favor, so that he can be happy with you. The younger son realized he had nothing other than a relationship with his father, right? And he realized that it was the greatest gift that he could ever receive. And he lived out of that. The older thought he was earning, and so he had to keep earning. It was a grind. It was a heavy burden. How do you see yourself? Are you a wretch who has nothing good to offer him, and you're only saved by his grace? Or does God owe you because you're such a good person? You think you deserve it, right? And therefore, you got to keep deserving it, keep earning it. Do you spend time in God's word because you want to spend time with him, or because you got to check it off the list, right? Because that's what a good follower of Christ should do. They should be in the word, right? They should be praying. They should give. They should serve. They should tithe, right? And if I don't check all these boxes off, the Father is going to be disappointed with me. Or do you just want to be with him? Are you just grateful for what he did for you? So grateful that you want to spend time with the one who saved your life, the one who flipped your life upside down, right? Older brothers do and give to get things, to earn God's favor. Younger brothers know they have God's favor and do so because he just saved their life. How do you see yourself? The third look in the mirror is, how do you see yourself compared to other people? The older brother looked at the younger's past, and he looked down on him to the point that he saw his younger brother as being unworthy of being his father's son once again, right? The younger brother was nothing like him. He worked hard. He didn't waste his things. He was good. He was basically on such a higher level that his younger brother was worthless. He could only look down on him. Are there people you look down on? People you aren't willing to bring into your life? People of the other political party, people of the other religion, atheists. Are the lost people, you know, those people that you're thinking of, people you avoid, or people you're called to go to? Are the lost people you avoid? Or there are people you are called to go to, that you have to go to because you want to share the good news, because you want to share the truth, because you want to see their lives flipped upside down, because you want to see them as brothers or sisters one day. Or, no, stay out of my life. How do you see other people? How do you see not other people? How do you see those other people? Jesus was known for being a friend of sinners, and it shocked both sides of the religious aisle. This guy welcomes us, right? Are you kidding me? This guy's willing to associate with us? And the other side, this guy welcomes them? How could he? Don't you know the people that you're around? Are you? Am I known for that? We bear his name, Christ followers. Are we known for what he was known for? Are you seen as the person that goes to the lost? Or are you the person that avoids the lost? What are you known for? How do you see them? Are we a church that welcomes the lost? Are they welcome here? Will we embrace them? Some churches welcome the lost, but they never tell them the truth. And that is one of the most unloving things a Christ follower could do. We welcome the lost, we tell them the truth, but we do it with a whole lot of grace. That is who we're called to be. Right? That's why we have on our signs, we are a church of grace and truth. It is a reminder of who we should be. Jesus was full of grace and truth. That's what the word says, right? That's exactly who Jesus was. To the woman caught in adultery, do you remember what he said to her? I don't condemn you. but go and sin no more. That's our message. I don't condemn you. I'm a wretch. I have nothing good to offer. It is only because of Jesus Christ that I am here. But you're on a highway to hell. And you got to take the off-ramp. Come with me, right? Let me show you the path he's shown me. That's who we are. Mirror question, how do you see these other people? Oh, they're the worst. I can't stand them. I want nothing to do with them. A bunch of Michigan fans, right? Seriously, though. If you look down on certain people and want to avoid them, you got some older brother in you. This is a road that's easy to find yourself on. We're pitted against each other. All the media that we watch pits us against the other side. I know we all think that's not me, but I think we all have a little bit of older brother in us. To some degree. So what do? You do what we always do. You look to Jesus Christ, right? And we follow him. We follow the path that he made, the path that he walked. We pick up our cross. We die to ourselves. And we follow him. Do you see what's at the end of this story? In this account? Right? It's the Father pleading. Pleading. Please. Very tenderly with his older son. What is this? What is that pleading? Do you understand what this means? Do you understand what this is? When you are hearing Jesus plead tenderly with the older brother, what you're really hearing is Jesus pleading tenderly with his enemies. Right? That's how we started off. We told you the context of this. Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, Jesus was saying to the religious leaders, come back. Come back to me. Right? Go after the lost with me. Please. Come home. Who are these religious leaders that he's talking to? Who are these religious leaders that he's calling? Do you realize these are the people who will put him on the cross? These are the very people that are plotting his death. The very people that will stir up the crowds and say, crucify him. And Jesus knows all of that, and yet he still pleads with them. Come home. Come into the celebration. Right? Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners. Not after we got everything straightened out, right? While we were still sinners, while we were still his enemy, Christ died for us. Do we get that? Do we understand that? Is that how we see people? Or do we want them to get everything straightened out, to quit doing that thing that they're doing, and then they can come in? No, while they were still sinners, Christ died for them. Christ died for the religious leaders who arranged his very death. Look to Jesus, my friends. If you're the person that struggles with wanting the things of this world more than God, if you're the person that struggles with that and is angry at God, look to Jesus, right? Listen to the words of this hymn's refrain. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will what? Grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. The more that your focus is on people and things, the more your heart will be drawn to them. the more you will struggle with them. The more angry you will become when you don't have them. The more jealous, the more bitter, the more you will look down on those people that have them. But if you will turn your eyes to Jesus, those things will grow dimmer. Turn your eyes to Him, my friends. If you're the one who's sitting here and you've been sitting in the church for 40 years, but you're mad at God because you don't have this or that, or what you think you deserve, I hope you realize you can have something far better. A relationship with a good Father who tells us that everything He has is ours. I hope you realize what that is worth. I hope we all realize the price that was paid for that. Look to the cross, my friends. If you're struggling with the religious grind, man, I was there decades trying to earn God's favor, feeling like garbage when I wasn't doing the things that I should be doing, right? When I was doing the things I should be doing, when I was checking off the boxes, I felt good about myself. And when I fell, when I didn't, I was sure God hated me. But then I realized I was His son. And everything became light. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Is His yoke easy? Is His burden light? Or is it heavy? If it's heavy, it's religion, and you're doing it wrong. Do you realize that if you put your faith and trust in Him and what He did, He calls you son, He calls you daughter? Do you think there's anything my kids could do that would make me stop loving them? They could spit in my face. They could reject me. They could do anything. They might reject me and lose out on that relationship with them. But as long as they're there, I'm going to love them. And I'm going to keep loving them. And I'm going to have that relationship with you, with them. That's the relationship you have to a much higher degree. Will He rebuke you? Will He correct you if you get out of line? Absolutely, because He loves you, right? But you don't have to earn anything. You just have to put your faith and trust in Him. And you can be His son. You can be His daughter. His yoke is light. Live not out of trying to earn something from God. Live out of just a gladness, a thankfulness for what He's done. And it will change everything and how you do things. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do this to be a son. I get to do this. I get to do this to proclaim His glory, to say thank you to the God who came down to this world and died on a cross for me, to a God who loved me enough, to a God who loved you enough to do that as well. Live out of that. Amen? I spent too long in church trying to earn, not just realizing that it was all done on the cross. It was all finished on the cross. My friends, let us turn our eyes upon Him. We give you all praise. We give you all honor. Lord, it is because of what you did, and only because of what you did, that we can have a relationship with you restored. It's only by that we can be called your sons and daughters. So we give you honor and praise. Father, I pray if there's somebody in here who knew that, who knows that, but maybe left that path a while ago, Father, would you call to them right now and say, come home? Father, I pray that they would turn towards you, that they would determine to follow once again you. Father, I pray that you'd put a robe on their back, sandals on their feet, a ring on their finger, and that they would hear you say and call them son or daughter, Lord. Father, if there's people in here that are struggling like me with how we see people, with how we see you, with how we see the things of this world, Father, would you help us to turn our eyes upon you and you alone? Would you help us to gaze upon you and quit looking at the things of this world? Lord, would you make them go dim? Would you make only you bright? Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.